Now, the next man that makes his attack upon Job is Bildad, and we find his argument in chapter 8. Now, let me say a word about him. He is what you would call a traditionalist. Bildad is a man that rests upon the past. His argument here is verse 8, "For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers." Now, he attempts to pick up the old rocks and stones of geology and look at them and tell you what happened years ago and what's going to happen because of that. Actually, the evolutionist is really a traditionalist. Great many people do not recognize that. But he rests upon the past. And, of course, he's making certain premises that he can't prove, by the way. And today, the premises are actually assumed. There are only two explanations for the origin of this universe. One, of course, is creation, and the other, speculation. Now, evolution is speculation. And it's very nice to be able to take up this bone and try to date it and then try to classify it belonging to this period and this development of man. But who knows? This book here is going to raise the question. In fact, God will raise the question even with Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" And so this man here, he will use the expression. He'll say, "When I was young." And he says, "We've been doing it this way." Now, he knew a lot of old sayings and proverbs and pious platitudes, and he offers actually nothing new at all. But actually, he's a very crude fella, and he's more crude, by the way, than Eliphaz was. And he breaks in upon this man, and actually, he hurts him a great deal, and he doesn't help him at all. Now, this is Bildad, who's supposed to have been his friend. I'm reading now verse 1, chapter 8. "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" Now, very frankly, these men really get in some good ones, we would say today. This is real repartee, by the way. This is a real rap session that they're having here. And they're brilliant men. To tell the truth, Bildad puts in the knife here and twists it just a little. He says, "How long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" Why, he says, "Job, to listen to you is just like listening to the wind blow. You're a windy individual." And I would say all of them are that, including Job. And we're going to see that there is something wrong with Job, but we'll come to that a little later. Now, will you notice this? He says, "How long wilt thou speak these things? How long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" I'd say that was a good one. That was good for a laugh. As I said before, a crowd had gathered around by this time, and this was as interesting to those people as a football game or a basketball game would be today. And you can see they're really uncivilized. And the intellectual contest, you see, appeal to them, not a physical contest. They really are uncivilized, aren't they? They are not up to it. They are not really civilized like we are today. Now, listen to them. "Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice?" Now, what's he coming to? What he's really saying is, Job, you're getting exactly what's coming to you. You are trying to defend yourself, and it means that there's some great sin in your life, and you're getting exactly what you deserve. Now listen to him. "If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression." Now that's an awful thing to say. He's suggesting that the reason Job's children were destroyed was because they were sinners. Now I can't think of anything that had hurt more than that. And especially this man didn't know that. And we know by this time, since God let us in on it at the beginning, they weren't destroyed for that reason. Now will you notice verse 5, "If thou would seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous." Now, Job, if you were lily white, as you're given the impression, why, God would hear your prayer and heal you and restore you. But the thing is, there must be something radically wrong. Now he says to him, verse 7, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. And by the way, that's what's going to happen. It will greatly increase. God's going to double everything he had at the end, but that's what this man is saying now to him. Verse 8, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of the fathers. Now he's going back and give you the old evolutionary theory. And he's going to say that these things all work according to law. There are quite a few of these laws that he'd put down, and they're old sayings. Listen to him. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Now, he doesn't mean he doesn't know. He means that Job doesn't know. We are but of yesterday and know nothing. And that, by the way, is a true statement. But that was true of this man Bildad, and it's true of the evolutionists today, and it's true of you and me. We are but of yesterday. Actually, man on this earth is a Johnny come lately. He hadn't been around very long. And God just hasn't seen fit to tell you what he was doing back yonder a million years ago. And after all, I'm not interested, frankly, in what he did a million years ago. I'm very much interested in what he's going to be doing a million years from today, because I expect to be around for that. And that's the thing that should interest us. And by the way, that is the thing here that separates this man from Paul, for instance. Now, Paul, you know, his philosophy pointed to the future and to Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But this man here, he goes back to the past, you see. He says, verse 10, shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? In other words, that old rock that they brought back from the moon, you better listen to it. It can tell you something. I don't know about you, but I don't think that rock's going to tell us very much. I understand down in Houston, Texas, among some of the scientists down there, they've made the statement, why, there are rocks out in West Texas that are just exactly like these rocks. And my point is, why don't they run a truck out to West Texas and pick up those rocks and quit spending all the money going to the moon? But if they want to go, why, let them go. But the point is, these things don't really teach you what you should know. It's like this medical doctor wrote, and this man knows all about surgery. But the important thing, the Word of God and eternal things, he very frankly says he doesn't know about them. And this idea of men playing with a few little rocks and a few little bones down here and then pretend that they know how the earth began and all of its development, may I say to you, that at its face value ought to be dismissed, because man is assuming more than he possibly could know. Now, will you notice, he's going to become very scientific. Listen to him. Can the rush grow up without mire? And the answer to that's obvious. I mean, any third grader would know that. Can the flag grow without water? I've learned that in California. I have to water my flags that are out by my back fence. You just got to water them if they're going to grow. This is profound wisdom, but who doesn't know this? Then he goes on. Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not come down, it withereth before any other herb. Well, we all know that, Bildad. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Now, he's crude. He calls Job a hypocrite. He's been covering up, he says. And that, of course, is not true. Now, verse 14, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web? He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. Job, he says, is been leaning against a spider's web. He's been a hypocrite, putting up a front, and this trouble has come now. Well, Job hasn't been. And so he moves on talking in this same vein, and verse 20, he says, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Now, wait just a minute. Is that actually true? Well, he sure helped me, and I've been an evildoer. He saved me, friends. And will God cast away a perfect man? No, he won't. But where is the perfect man? There's none. There's none righteous. No, not one. You see, what he says is true, but it's not true when you pour it in the test tube of life and pour the acid of experience upon it. It just isn't true. Till he filled thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. Now listen to him, the last verse. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. And what he's saying, Job, you're really coming to nothing because you're a great sinner. Now this is not very helpful for a man that's in the position Job is. You see, Bildad does not know God. He does not know Job. And he does not really know himself. He's a traditionalist. He thinks that he can put a rock under a microscope and tell you how the world began. He doesn't know. He's a smart boy, but he doesn't know. You see, you put yourself in the place of God. Now, Job's going to answer this man next chapter. We're going to see that Job is pretty good at coming back, but he's getting awfully weary of this that's happening. But he has a few good things to say.